This is SB Nation AM.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Hey, thanks for joining us, SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM, here on a Monday. Week 14 will conclude tonight. The Eli Manning Show will be tonight. I'm looking forward to seeing this game. Look, he's not going to get the reception in Philadelphia as if this game was in the Meadowlands, but it is Eli Manning's return before the Giants go, thanks for the two Super Bowls, now goodbye. But he gets to play a couple of more times before the season comes to an end. There's a report that Daniel Jones is out 2 to 4 weeks. How about this? Just make him out for the rest of the season and just let Eli clean this mess up and let's get the farewell tour underway. But college football is now done, and now we're heading into the bowl season. We're not technically done. We still got good Army-Navy coming up, and then we've got the bowl games and the bowl season starting. But the committee, as far as the playoff committee rankings, that's done. It's locked in. It's going to be LSU, Ohio State, Clemson, and Oklahoma, which really wasn't that surprising. You knew that was going to happen the moment LSU started pulling away immediately at the SEC championship game on Saturday night. And by the way, Clemson really needed to win big. And there was a lot of concern that they would lose to Virginia in the ACC title game. They just put 63 on the board, so they were done with that. But Dabo is not happy with getting a third placement in this deal. Now, I will tell you, I've seen a lot of people online, and they're making comments about the seeding, right? If you're the Buckeyes and you were number one, and here's LSU, and all of a sudden they're number one, is that fair? They did, Ohio State did their job. Can I ask this real question? And I'm not trying to squash any sort of fun little sports bar debates that we have, but in a four-team playoff, is this relevant at all? Does this matter at all? If you're not, so LSU gets to play Oklahoma instead of Clemson in the first round? I mean, in the end, you got to win these games anyway, right? I mean, if you don't play Clemson in round one, you'll probably play him in round two. And that's all you got to do, right? It's the same thing. You want to, it's all about pride, but in the end, there's no strategic advantage, really. These are the four best teams, and you know what? All of them are very, very, very good. So just play the games that are in front of you and go win a national championship. Who cares what the number is next to you?
This is SB Nation AM. On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Robert on Twitter, at Tony D Radio. Got my eye on the Tony the Tiger Sun Bowl. Don't care for this year's teams, but pour the milk and have a great day. Isn't that what we're all doing? Tony the Tiger Sun Bowl. Florida State and Arizona State. Herm Edwards against the guy filling in until Mike Norvell comes in to take over the Seminole program. But who cares? All I care about is what kind of cereal products will the Tony the Tiger Sun Bowl present itself? Like, can I buy Frosted Flakes that have something to do with the bowl game at my local store? I should be able to, right? Now, listen, there's some really good sponsors of these bowl games, but that's my favorite so far. Tony the Tiger Frosted Flakes Sun Bowl. And I looked up gear for this bowl game because I was like, maybe I'll get a t-shirt because I'm kind of into this sponsorship. But you had the best idea. When we did this story when it first came out, you had the best idea, and I did not see it in their store, which was, if you remember, Ron, you said there should be a Tiger, Tony the Tiger Sun Bowl for your cereal.
Yes.
And they have not done that. They do not have that product available.
And they're making a big mistake.
They're making a huge mistake. Because if you made a bowl that's specifically designed for cereal, just said, we're designing this for cereal. Yeah, you want to use it for ice cream or other things.
Whatever.
This is cereal. You could design it really well and make it really nice, and yours truly would get one. See, I would get one.
Somehow, some way, I'm not entirely sure how we inherited this, but we ended up with like a Kellogg's bowl that has a sun on it. Right? A big old happy face right? sun. I'm not even sure what it's for. It's just, I know it says Kellogg or General Mills. I'm not sure which one.
Yeah.
But, you know, you look at the bowl, it's like, oh, this is a bowl for cereal because it's a cereal company. You know, the Sun Bowl, I mean, they need to capitalize on this immediately.
Of course they do. Absolutely they do.
I mean, other bowls should have been doing it all along, I guess.
Yeah. So, this is, listen, I have a bone to pick with people when it comes to the bowl season, okay? Because, so yesterday they announced all the bowl games, right? And inevitably, there's always some curmudgeon out there that goes, there's just too many of these bowl games. I can't stand them. There's too many of them. Hey, I got a great answer for that. Don't watch them. I mean, what do you want? There's a bunch of them. They're on TV. No one's forcing you to watch all of them. There's sporting events in December and in early January. Big deal. The schools like them. The coaches like them. You know, sometimes the towns that sponsor these dig them. They're kind of cool. You know, you don't have to watch. It's not invading you. They're not forcing themselves on you. There's 40 of them or 38 of them or whatever. Would you be happier if there was 28? Like, how is your life affected that there's 9 more bowl games than you're used to? Big deal. So a 6-6 team is playing in a bowl game. So what? You got a playoff. Enjoy the playoff, right? Air Force and Washington State are playing in a bowl game. Okay, great. Good for them. Mississippi State and Louisville will be in Nashville. Great. I don't care. If I cared, I'd go. If I care to watch it, I'll watch it. You know, Kentucky and Virginia Tech are playing in the Belk Bowl in Charlotte. Good. Great. I mean, look, the bowls are, they're a reward for a good season, but more importantly for the coaches, it gives them another month of practice. And if you talk to coaches, they love that because it's not just preparing for the game. It's preparing for the season upcoming. It's the young kids you got that are coming in. It is getting them more reps and getting them more work and building a more a cohesive program going into getting ready for your spring workouts next year. That's really what this is all about. You know, coaches are looking at younger players. Who's going to be my next quarterback? A senior is leaving. Who's going to be coming up? Give him a little bit of time. Give him some extra work. I get a month to do this while I prepare for some game in the Bahamas or Yankee Stadium or wherever it is. And here's the other thing. Some of these schools, they just aren't national championship level good. But there is something to root for in a season where you're not going to go play for the championship. I'll give you a perfect example of that, and it's in my backyard, the Tennessee Volunteers. The Tennessee Volunteers this year have been a disaster until they started turning it around. Remember, this is a football team that lost to Georgia State, okay, during the season. And they lost to BYU. And they really looked out of sort. They really did. It was a problem that was, is Jeremy Pruitt in over his head? What's going on? Why is this program with all the money and the resources? Why have they fallen apart? They were 1-4 with that, again, that bad loss to Georgia State to kick off the season and to BYU, and they lose to Florida and Georgia. And now all of a sudden you're thinking this is nowhere. Then they turn it on a little bit. They get a win against Mississippi State, and then they closed out the year with 5 straight wins, and they went 7-5, and they're going to a bowl game for the first time in 3 years. Now, to you, to a lot of people, that's, you know, who cares? It's to the people of Tennessee, it mattered. It mattered a lot. And you can take that story and replicate that story all around the country for programs that are building their way up to do something, whether it's to win the MAC or whether it's to win the AAC or whatever it is. We're not going to be LSU. We're not going to be Alabama. We're not going to be Oklahoma or Clemson or any of those teams or Ohio State. But you know what? There is something at the end of our rainbow, and our rainbow is getting 6 wins, having a bowl game, having something to celebrate where our fans can have a little vacation going somewhere and rooting for us play in a month. It's the only sport that does this. It is. They don't have to make this big 128 team tournament. They just go, here's the haves, here's the not so haves, and the not so haves can have their thing too.
Yep.
And that's really it.
The only thing I will say negative about the bowl season, because I mean, it's a joke anyways. But the whole thing, the area that I can't stand is that we have 5 games after January 1st that aren't the national championship. Now, I'm not including the national championship in that. We have the Outback Bowl, Birmingham Gator, Idaho Potato, Armed Forces, Lending Tree Bowl. Why do we have Lending Tree Bowl on January 6th?
That's what I have a problem with. Get them all done early. We don't need them extending past the holiday season.
I mean, when we have New Year's Day, that's been tradition for Bowl Day for as long as I can remember. And then I don't mind, hey, a week later, we're going to have the national title game. That's fine.
I have no problems with that whatsoever. Listen, I'm old enough to remember when Penn State played Miami in the 80s, and the game was like January. I think it was, I don't remember the date, but it wasn't on New Year's Day, right? They extended it a little bit. It was 1-2. But I grew up where New Year's Day was it. We were done. It was over. And then we got the rankings, and then we determined who won the national championship with the rankings. And sometimes we split the national championship, but that was really it. Now they started moving these bowl games around a little bit. Now they're extending them into the second and the third. I don't like that. I'm with you. I don't like that. Play them during the holiday season. I know everybody wants their moment in the sun in terms of television. I get it. So I'm just there's curious, an ability to get some of these games on TV, but it's too much. Don't take me past the first.
Aside from it being your alma mater, is there viewership for this during this time? Like the Idaho Bowl, which is on January 3rd. You know, if you're not a Wolfpack fan or Ohio, and is that Ohio, Miami, or whatever?
Yeah, something like that.
But the Bobcats?
Yeah, is there an audience for it? No, but here's the deal. They get good enough ratings to continue to warrant contracts.
Well, obviously.
So they get something. And I think for a lot of people, the bowl season, am I going to watch, two teams I barely know and they're not top of the line programs? Maybe not intently in where I'm watching it with, my notepad in front of me, but it might be something I just have on to have on. And then, right?
My only other question is that, we'll have the final decided December 28th, which is a Saturday.
Right. So the final, the championship, well, no, December 28th will be the two games, right?
Yeah. Why is the final 2.5 weeks later?
Well, that's another thing. That's another extension of the television deal, right? It's just finding the right time and the right moment for television rather than something that's more convenient or, they basically are trying to extend the college football season as long as possible to maximize hype and exposure.
See, that's what makes me laugh. Well, I mean, but the only problem is 2.5 weeks. We're not really going to talk about it. We're going to forget it because now we're into NFL playoff time.
No. We'll talk about the national championship.
Well, I know.
There's no way the national championship game gets
ignored.
When
we get closer to it, but there's going to be that gap where we're just, I mean, you're talking 2.5 weeks.
Yeah, but remember, too, I mean, we do a good job compartmentalizing sports. We don't take sports and say, this is on the shelf and everything else has to be off the shelf. I mean, you can be interested in the playoffs of the NFL and anticipate 2 weeks and, LSU against Ohio State.
Oh, you're already calling it, aren't
you? Well, I'm just throwing out an example. But I also
Dabble's gonna get mad at you.
I think the reason these bowls work financially for everybody is because of the television money, and I think television goes, look, we got to find some spots and find some opening. Remember the disaster that they had when they went on New Year's Eve? Remember that when they played the games on New Year's Eve?
And everyone went, that was dumb.
Yeah, I will never forget Sage Steele was on television and she was like, here's the crowd in New York City and all of them will be having their apps opened up to watch the college. And I'm like, nobody's watching college football. And I said, look, you can like college football. But if you don't have these two teams in the fight, chances are you have plans for tonight.
Yeah,
you're going to some party, you're going to some event, you're going downtown somewhere. And it's unfortunate, but most of America chose to go to their New Year's Eve party than stay at home to watch two football games of teams that they're probably not attached to whatsoever.
Right. And the only time you're going to be, in tune to the game with an app on your phone is when you're standing in line for the restroom. You'll scroll down and go, oh, okay, these are the games. All right, I'm done.
Yeah, right.
And then back to the party. Now, I got a question for you. How do we feel about Alabama not being in a New Year's Six Bowl?
I know. I was,
they're playing on New Year's Day.
I got to be honest with you. I think this committee was telling Alabama a message because, as I said earlier, that football team lost to what they think is the number one team in the nation. and an Auburn team at Auburn in a very wild game without their star quarterback.
Yeah.
And they still went not good, not even close.
Not even close. You guys.
Not even close.
You're playing Michigan.
That's right. You're going to play Michigan in the Citrus Bowl. Have fun. That's not even, that's an afternoon game on January. It's an early game on January 1st. And I think they seriously were like, look, we're making a statement on you guys.
Go get
somebody better than Duke and stop playing, you know, don't play Western Carolina. And I don't know. I mean, I'm sure when Alabama made that schedule, they were thinking, well, Duke might be okay. Right? Maybe they'll be better, but nope. So, yeah, I thought that was a little bit of a push. So, all right. Again, on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver, that's Ron with two N's. More from the NFL Week 14 as we continue along. And I'll give you some thoughts on the college football Final Four next on SB Nation AM.
Listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us, SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM. By the way, I am looking forward to the playoff between LSU and Clemson and Oklahoma and Ohio State. No, I'm sorry. LSU, Oklahoma, and Ohio State, Clemson. I thought those were the good ones. I felt bad for Baylor. I was kind of like, I like Oklahoma a lot, but I was kind of pulling for Baylor. I don't know why. I think Matt Rule's done a really good job. But now Jalen Hurts is back in the playoff for the fourth straight year. Is he the Christian Leitner of college football?
Ooh,
that's a good one, huh? You like that one? Did you like that one? Is he the Christian Leitner of college football? Because Leitner went to the Final Four all 4 years he was at Duke. I want to say he was the last guy to do that, because we don't usually have consistent presences in the Final Four these days. There's no more UCLAs coming through the college football door. Oh, goodness. But I like I said, I've gone back and forth on this playoff thing for a number of years, and I know you guys have heard me say, do you expand it? Do you add six teams? Do you add eight teams? When it's all said and done, I'm glad there was a playoff. You know, and I know when it first came out, I was like, all right, I know I'm going to miss the urgency of Saturdays, right? I know that the Saturday, the feeling of it's all over on this one crazy, you know, October night, are we going to be able to recover from that, comes out. But if you think about this, if there was no playoff, are you telling me Clemson would really seriously not play for the national championship? Yeah, they wouldn't. It would be LSU, Ohio State. And Clemson would be on the outside going, "What did we did nothing wrong. We did nothing wrong. We went through our schedule. We put up over 50 points, you know, in five of our last six games. And we don't get to play.
They become UCF.
We don't get to play. They become UCF. Yeah, they become UCF. You know what they become? They become Auburn.
Yep.
Of 2004, where Auburn was unbeaten but had to watch Oklahoma and USC play for the national championship. That's who they become. And it's just what we're going to do is we're going to reach a point where eventually, I don't know when, but eventually they'll expand it to whatever, six with two byes or eight, whatever they're going to expand it to. And we'll have that same conversation again, right? We'll say, when we have eight teams, we'll be like, you know, we used to have four, but I'm so glad we have eight now, because you're telling me that Oregon wouldn't have a chance to play for the national championship under the old system? Like, that's what we'll do. We'll move the bar. So right now, we can say that about Clemson because Clemson is unbeaten. And we've had a few unbeaten teams not play for the national championship before, Auburn being one of them. We've had that happen. But we're going to move the bar when we expand the playoffs so that you're going to reach a point where one loss, it's ridiculous that they don't have a chance to play for the national title. Maybe one day it'll be two losses and it's insane that they should, that they play for the national championship. I mean, we just talked about Alabama. Alabama's 10-2. 10-2. And the committee said Penn State is better, Florida is better, Wisconsin is better, Baylor is better, Oregon is better. I find that hard to believe. I can be honest with you. Outside of Auburn, and I'm not going to mention Auburn because Auburn did beat them. Utah, you're telling me that you think on a neutral field, Alabama is worse than Penn State, Florida, Wisconsin, or Baylor? And don't give me the deserving better. We're talking about teams with the same record or around the same record. Like, Alabama's 13. You're telling me that Wisconsin, because they played in their conference championship game in an extra game, which they lost, is five spots better than Alabama in the rankings nationally? You are crazy. Virginia, yeah, they were.
I mean, I understand how they're doing it. You know, it's Orange Bowl is ACC versus either the SEC, Big Ten, or Notre Dame. But, I mean, I think if, you know, when it comes to New York Six Bowl, you almost got to treat it like the college playoff and just say, let's throw it out. Let's match up. You know, I know you're trying to keep a tradition. I'll go back and forth.
Man, you know who I blame the Rose Bowl for that. Rose Bowl was always like, we ain't going, unless we're playing, unless we're part of the deal, unless it's our turn in the rotation to host these games, we are staying where we are. And so all these other bowls are like, yeah, because it's all tied in. Yeah, might as well. If we're not in it, this is how we're doing it.
The Cotton Bowl, two at-large teams, so you have Memphis who's versus Penn State.
Yeah, I was going to say, who's playing in the Cotton Bowl again? Penn State and Memphis?
Penn State and Memphis.
It's not bad. It's really good, actually.
Yeah, but Alabama couldn't be a...
Yeah, he couldn't be in the Cotton Bowl.
Alabama, Penn State, that would have been a great game.
Oh, yeah, really? Really? Because you have these rules that you're setting stone?
Two teams with boring-ass helmets?
I mean, I'm sorry. Alabama, if I was Nick Saban, I wouldn't even go to the Citrus Bowl.
There's the next question. How many players, especially Alabama, who, you know, most of that roster is NFL bound anyways. It is year in and year out. Right. How many of them are going to skip the bowl game against Michigan?
I wonder. I've already saw this recommendation so many times on Twitter. As soon as that was announced, I was like, holy cow, there might be an underground, you know, some sort of underground, group that is just fighting this to send Alabama to Orlando for the Citrus Bowl. And you know, players are on Twitter. They're like, bah, I'm not going to play. I'm a senior. I'm done. I'm not going to play in the Citrus Bowl. And the Citrus Bowl is a nice bowl. It's a nice bowl. It's in Orlando. Yep. You get a nice trip down to sunny Florida, and you get the night, you know, they take you to the theme parks, and they take you to the, they treat you nice in Orlando when you go to the Citrus Bowl. But it's a Citrus Bowl, for crying out loud.
You think the committee was thinking about that? Oh, let's take them to the Citrus Bowl. We'll take them to Disney World.
We'll take them to Universal Studios. Yeah.
That'll make them happy.
Yeah, right? They were like, no, you're going to the Citrus Bowl because in the beginning of the year, you scheduled Duke. And we don't like that. Right? You're going to the Citrus Bowl is going to take you now.
And I was feeling a way they kind of did Minnesota a little dirty, too, because Minnesota was flirting there for a while as one of the top teams in the Big Ten.
I kid you not, man. That's college football. You can be, in a matter of a few weeks, you can go from being one of the top teams being considered for a possible playoff berth, national championship consideration, to going to a bowl nobody wants to go to in, you know, December 28th.
Yeah, Minnesota Auburn Outback Bowl.
It's not a bad bowl.
January 1st, 1 p.m. It's going up against Michigan, Alabama.
The only reason I say that is because some of the best moments of my South Carolina fandom had occurred at the at the Outback Bowl in Tampa.
All right.
I saw them beat Ohio State twice.
You're talking football. I was thinking other things, you know.
Final Four.
Talk about.
National championships. No, in the fandom of the sport. Again, on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, if you're a senior football player and make it to a bowl game, most likely, if you're not drafted, it's your last organized football game. That's also true. Yeah, that's also true. Stop knocking the bowls. Don't watch them. They'll go away. They'll come and they'll go without you acknowledging them. But yeah, if you're a kid and you get to go to, and you're playing your senior game and you're not going pro, you're going to go become a pharmacist or something, and it's the final game and you're going to a bowl game, that's it for you. That's good. Good. I don't mind the bowls.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us, SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM. Ron just made a really good point. The school that got hosed in this bowl scheduling is the Utah Utes. They're ranked 11th, and they've got to go to San Antonio to play Texas.
On New Year's Eve.
On the New Year's Eve in the Alamo Bowl. I mean, that's good for Texas to be going to a bowl nearby. It's going to sell some tickets, but
Austin,
Utah...
Driving time from Austin to San Antonio, maybe 45 minutes.
Utah was one championship game away from playing for the national championship. They got beat by Oregon Friday night pretty handily. But also, they were not only a team that controlled its own destiny. They were supported by so many of the college football pundits as the best team you're not watching, America.
Yep.
How dare you? Oh, you live in Florida and you haven't been watching Utah. Well, let me tell you what you're missing. They are great. They are so great that you'll be blown away how great they are when you finally watch them. And the rest of America was like, I guess. And then they lost to Oregon, and the rest of America said, and what about that team again? And they went, yeah, sorry about that. Maybe we did overhype them enough. You'll get to watch them in the Alamo Bowl against a Texas team that had to fire a lot of its assistant coaches because they didn't quite have the year we thought they were going to have.
Correction. You'll get to not watch them.
You'll get to not watch them because it's New Year's Eve night.
New Year's Eve night, 7:30 p.m., New Year's Eve night. No one's watching that game.
Exactly. You're right. So once again, America's like, sorry, there's just no room in my life for another college football team. So I appreciate you wanting me to pay attention to Utah, but I just don't have the time. Thanks for nothing. Goodness gracious. That's how far you could fall in this one game. I'll be honest with you. Not 1 week, one weekend. That's how quick it fell apart for Utah. Utah's looking around like, wait a minute. We don't get to have just a game where a team about equal as us beats us in a neutral field? No, you don't. We don't even get like a chance to, you know, go, you know, play somewhere, I don't know, that's a little bit more competitive than playing Texas in Texas about 45 minutes from their home.
There's no room on the New York Six bowl list.
Right. We just got told how awesome we are. We got told by everybody how great we are.
So there had we won, we would be Oklahoma right now.
It's quite possible if we had won, we would have been in the national championship picture. And now maybe they would have gone back and forth really deep between them and Oklahoma, but
right.
there might have been a point where Utah was playing for the national title. Now they got to go to the Alamo Bowl and play Texas in Texas in one weekend. That's how far they fell. There better be Oculuses and Jelly of the Month Club memberships for all the Utah
Seriously.
Players in the gift basket.
I mean, in all honesty, I think. You know, Oklahoma handling Baylor. Had Utah beaten Oregon, I still say Oklahoma leapfrog.
I think I do too.
I think the committee just went to Oklahoma. You played, you know, that's why they made 6-7.
Yeah, I think push comes to shove, the committee would have taken Oklahoma.
Yep.
We will never know because we will never know. But Micah on Twitter, they should have put Texas versus Texas A&M in a bowl. Yes, they should have.
They should
well
have.
Done, Micah. Yes, they should have.
And they should have done that in San Antonio.
And they should have done that in San Antonio is right. Find a way to make that happen. That would have been better since they don't play each other anymore. And not only do they not play each other anymore, they don't want to play each other anymore. Oh, I think the Texas side said they'd like to revitalize it. And Texas A&M said, no, thanks. We're not doing that.
Real quick, what is this love affair they have with Texas teams? Okay, they have Utah versus Texas in San Antonio. It's essentially a home game for Texas.
Sure it is.
Texas A&M is playing Oklahoma State.
Oh, that's in Houston.
That's in Houston.
That's
which
right.
Is essentially a home game for Texas A&M. Come on, committee.
Sell some tickets. God. Sell the tickets.
That's your answer. They couldn't put Texas and Texas A&M together because they couldn't figure out, do we give Texas A&M the home game or do we give Texas the home game?
I don't know. Listen, I don't know how they do it, to be honest with you. I'd love to. I remember when I was in Vegas, and again, I was in my 20s, so I wasn't in. I remember I was in a board meeting for the Las Vegas Bowl, and I was only there as a media. I was like, we were our radio cluster needed two representatives to go, and nobody really wanted to go. And I said, I'll go. And I was sitting on the board, and they were talking about, okay, for the bowl game, this is how we're going to do traffic. We're going to have these as the host hotels. This team is going to stay at this hotel. This team is going to, it was all the logistics of running a bowl, one bowl game, right? And I remember sitting there, and I don't really know what I was listening to. Again, I'm just a young guy sitting there, probably shouldn't have belonged there, but their big thing was marketing, because they were like, how, all right, we don't know who the teams are, obviously, but this is the media blitz, and but you know, we're going to have ticket packages, then we're going to have ticket and restaurant packages where you can buy two tickets to the game and get a package for a restaurant, hotel, restaurant ticket package. It's hard to sell tickets to these games when the locals aren't attached locally to the event, right? I mean, if you bring in two teams that have nothing to do with the region whatsoever, it's hard for the local to buy that. It's one thing to fit for the fans. Let them travel. Let them come into town. Let them root for their team. That's great. That's fine. But if you want to fill a 75,000-seat stadium, you're going to have to sell tickets to locals. You're going to have to do it. Because you ain't going to get 35 and 35 unless it's some of the bigger games of the year.
God, I'm trying to figure out how, like, what the criteria. You know, like, what's it called? The Rose Bowl, we always know, is the winner of the Big Ten versus the winner of the Pac-12.
Right, right, right.
I'm trying to figure out the Texas Bowl.
And I don't think there is a criteria. Is there a criteria for that?
It was announced Conference USA would have a team. There's always like a Conference USA tie-in.
Oh, yeah, right, right, right.
But these two teams aren't Conference USA.
Why do you need tie-ins? Why don't you just all get together and just invite the team you want and see if they accept?
I don't know.
Unless they all say no. Unless they go, nope, we're not doing that. We're not going there. But you're right. You know, that was, you're 100%
well,
right about Utah.
Conference tie-ins now are Big 12, SEC. There's no
to
the Texas Bowl.
To the Texas Bowl?
So there's no like, oh, it's, you know, the number 3 Big 12 team versus number 3 SEC team, like when you normally see that type of stuff.
Okay, so the Texas Bowl had the Big 12 and the SEC?
The Texas Bowl has, yeah, the Big 12 and the SEC.
They could have made Texas yeah. A&M a bowl game. If there was no positioning, right?
Yeah, it doesn't have it on here.
Right. So if you could just take any team, you know, you could make a plea. Hey, Texas A&M, why don't you gather here in Houston for this mighty, mighty showdown?
And
that would have been fun.
And by the same token, there's really no tie-in with the Alamo Bowl. It's just saying
same kind of thing. Okay, so they could have invited Texas A&M to the Alamo Bowl.
Okay, for the Alamo Bowl, it's the second choice team from the Pac-12 conference and the second choice team from the Big 12 conference.
That's too bad. Okay, well, that makes sense. Okay.
Yeah, that's why Utah is there. For Texas, I guess they're the third choice team because the second choice team Baylor got to go to. Where they're going to, like, Fiesta Bowl or something?
Baylor's playing Georgia in the Sugar Bowl.
Yeah, which is, the number one.
That's the Consolation Bowl. We'll call it that.
Right.
The Consolation Game Bowl for the two teams that lost the conference championships. And Georgia, you better bounce back and do something good. Baylor did its job. It got to overtime. That game was in overtime. They lost Charlie Brewer. They were down to a third-string quarterback in that game, and they almost pulled it off. Charlie Brewer went out, and they used a third-string quarterback. They almost pulled it off, and Georgia just got smoked. I mean smoked, 37-10. That game was 17-3 at halftime. When it was 14-0 at the end of the first quarter, how many of you out there went, yeah, Georgia's time's coming? None of you. None of you. And by the way, I was talking to a friend of mine who's a big LSU fan, and he said to me, he goes, you know what's so great about this? And I go, what? That you're going to get the playoff? And he goes, no. He goes, I've been waiting. And he's like in his like early 40s. He goes, I've been waiting my whole life for a passing offense like this. And I went, yeah, I know. Isn't it weird? I said, this isn't like, you know, like we're back to throwing the ball and having this passing attack. Like, we're back to having this level of play. I said, LSU is going to have the greatest passer in SEC history in terms of numbers for a school that has never had even a sniffling of that in its history. Like, even Jamarcus Russell, Danny Etling, Matty Mock, Matt Flynn, none of those guys were SEC dominant throwers, passers. So LSU, this pound and ground football team, right, where we're going to run it down your throat, we're going to control the clock, we're going to play stifling defense, we're going to beat you 12-6, right, are now destroying teams, throwing the ball all over the place. I mean, it's a radical, change. And he was just elated that finally in his lifetime, he is seeing something with his college that he's never seen before. And not only is he never seen it, it's now resulted in the number one team in the country. It's not like they were starting to build it. Oh, we're getting a little better at throwing the ball. We're starting to increase our passing offense. We're doing all... He's like, with Danny Etling, we saw a little bit of it, but it wasn't even close. And then, bam, this Joe Burrow kid comes here from Ohio State, and we've got the number one passing attack and the number one offense, the number one team in the country. It's remarkable. It really is remarkable. And I'm really looking forward to seeing the playoff, because I think Ohio State is great, and I think Clemson is starting to really say, look, we may not have played the kind of level of competition that you think we should have played. Our ACC was down. But what you demanded of us in going 13-0 and playing these weaker teams, we delivered that. We may have stumbled a little bit in the North Carolina game where it was a little too close for comfort, but the reality of it is when push came to shove, when you looked at us and said, all right, you don't have a good enough schedule, start clobbering teams. We started clobbering teams. We held them to 10 points a game, and we put up about 47 a contest. And five of our last six games, we scored over 50 points. And in seven of our last eight games, we scored over 45 points, 45 or more points. So we took care of business the way good teams are supposed to take care of business when they're faced with a conference that's not living up to its end of the bargain. We don't want to punish unbeaten teams for their conferences. We do then say to them, okay, we can't punish you for your conference. Your conference is what it is. It's not your fault Florida State stunk in the second year of Willie Taggart. But we are expecting you to win by 30. And they win by 30. Right, BC fired its head coach. We're not expecting you to, we need you to win by 40. They win by 40. So Clemson, Ohio State, LSU, and then here comes Jalen Hurts in Oklahoma, a fun team to watch, a absolute fun offense, a guy that knows this playoff system, watching it on the bench and playing in it while he was at Alabama. This is going to be a fun four teams. This is going to be really good. He's the 28th is going to be... I think really interesting, and I don't really know where it's going to go. I really don't. I think it's going to be LSU Ohio State for the championship, but I can't.
I think you're right.
I'm not locked into that. Maybe last year I was like Alabama Clemson and was really confident with that. I'm not really confident. I mean, I can see it's going that way, but I think it's Ohio State LSU, and we shall see coming up on the 28th. All right, SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM. You can hit us up on Twitter at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's. Love to hear your thoughts on Week 14 and the college football weekend next, SB Nation AM.
You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us, SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM. Michael on Twitter, Joe Burrow is Josh Heupel of the 2000 Oklahoma Sooners. We've had a lot of comparisons today. I said Jalen Hurts is the Christian Leitner of college football. Michael says Joe Burrow is the Josh Heupel. Oklahoma was a triple option offense till Bob Stoops got there. I think Heupel became the all-time leading passer for Oklahoma in his first eight games he played. Probably true. I wouldn't doubt that. I remember Heupel won the 2000 national championship before.
I'm not really buying that one.
You're not buying that one?
You're
not buying the triple option quarterback all of a sudden comes. I just think this is amazingly fun for LSU. It's like a new toy they don't know what to do with except give them a Heisman Trophy and the key to Baton Rouge.
It's the new toy that we don't know what to do with either, because we never talk about LSU this way.
No, we never do. It's crazy. It's like I was telling my friend, I was like, this is one of the reasons when Alabama played them again in the national championship. Because remember the first time they played them in 2011, that game was 9-6. Okay, 9-6. Three field goals won it. And when they played them again in the national title game, they didn't let LSU get across the 50-yard line because they were like, you know what? We'll just shut your run down. That's it. That's all we're going to do. We're going to make that, you know, a priority. And when we do, you won't be able to do anything else. And they were right. Now you've got a team that can run. Edwards-Helaire is, he can run the ball. Joe Burrow can throw it. You got two wide receivers with over 1,000 yards and receptions. Burrow is going to win the Heisman Trophy. It's the all-time SEC leader for a season.
And that to me is always surprising because a lot of times we have a guy on our radar. He was never even on the radar.
Yeah, I did not think Burrow was a Heisman Trophy player in the conversation at the beginning of the season.
I didn't
put him in that category.
We kind of knew that, okay, he's going to do good things at LSU. He's going to make them competitive.
I thought it was going to be Tua, Trevor, maybe Jalen in Oklahoma, Jonathan Taylor, the running back out of Wisconsin.
Bobby Hebert.
Right? That's about it. Now Joe Burrow's going to... They're talking about him possibly being the most... winning by the largest margin in Heisman history when he goes to New York City. That wouldn't be surprising at all. So, SB Nation Radio.